This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. What's up, man? We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. At Barton Hahn on Twitter, Instagram as well. Be Sizzle, we had ourselves a Final Four. And tonight, we have ourselves a championship game, a matchup between number one and number two. We haven't seen that in a very long time. It's rare, and I'll tell you what, the thing that really stands out to me the most.
How rare, Alan?
I'm going to tell you how rare, because you asked me how rare. It is so rare that it's the first time the preseason top two teams have played for the title in the last 20 seasons, Bart Scott.
Who was the last one? Was it John Wooden? Well, it wouldn't be Wooden. I'm tripping. The last 20?
That's 20 years, not John Wooden.
Who was the last one? That means 2000. Who was it?
So think it was Duke, Illinois?
Ah, close enough.
Duke, Illinois, 2001. And also, it's the fifth time in history that you've had the one and two teams in the preseason playing the championship game. Guess which team has fared better, the number one team or the number two team, Bart Scott?
If that number one team faces the number two team, the number two team has been chasing the number one team the entire season. You talk about having the extra edge. What's the extra edge in big games, Alan? Motivation, chip on your shoulder. They think they're better than us. And the first time that the number one team goes into a matchup where somebody hits them back, can they withstand that? Oh, man, so I would say – answer B or C, none of the above.
No, you were right. Stay on it.
I would go to
the number two ranked team in the preseason poll.
So what you betting?
In five times that they've met the number one team in the national championship game, the number two team has won four times. 4-0. Never has the number one team beaten the number two team. How about that?
So basically you saying go with the analytics.
Duke, Arizona.
We gonna put some money on it. Was that the one with Mike Bibby? Was that Mike Bibby and the dude Simon? Why didn't the Simon dude never make it to the pros? Is that the Bibby team?
I don't know. I got to remember now. Arizona 2001. I was covering hockey back then, darn it. But our good friend Jay Will was, of course, on that Duke team.
Jay Weezy.
Yeah, man. So let's go Straight Talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. As we're talking about, we'll talk about when Seth Greenberg is going to join us bottom of the hour so we can break down the matchup between Baylor and Gonzaga tonight. Tipping off at 9:20, which is convenient for me because Knicks-Nets ends. It's a 7 o'clock game, so I'll be able to catch.
The big 15 versus the big 2.
Yeah, we'll get to
big
that.
Three.
We'll discuss that, no doubt. But as we get into Straight Talk, let's just, to me, I'm going to say this, Bart. I said it this morning. I'm going to repeat it for those who missed it. I feel like even though we've been waiting for Baylor-Gonzaga for all this time and we get that matchup of the two best teams in college basketball, after what we saw in the Final Four and that Gonzaga finish, Jalen Suggs, and after what we saw.
He didn't call a bank.
Hang on. Beating, that upstart UCLA, Mick Cronin, what a great job he did with that program. I feel like tonight's game is the cigarette after. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Don't you feel like that? Like, how could it possibly be as good as this?
I don't know. I saw
it. That's not it. Never mind.
But I tell you what, when you think about it, it's usually like the championship games are the games in all the sports that are the most entertaining. When have we had like the best game of the tournament or the best game of the playoffs in any sport that was the championship game? I love the kid that came down with the two-step from Villanova with the dagger, you know what I'm saying? And I love what his comments was before. Like, he was like, it's no big deal. I do it in practice every time. But we never see those. We never see a game-winning shot in a championship game. It's been five of them. Jay Weezy broke down his top five, and I agree with most of them. I feel like some people thought that
– you mentioned Chris Jenkins, right? Obviously, the great NC State finish, of course. You know, that, Lorenzo Charles, Derek Whitworth, what a great finish that was. Those are in championship games.
Didn't MJ hit a pretty big one?
MJ hit a big shot for UNC right before Freddie Brown gave the ball away. Yeah, you've got that too. Back when he was called Mike Jordan.
Mike Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, you've had some big buzzer beaters in Final Four history, no doubt about it. But that game, Bart, that game was something else. That game was
– It was refreshing. It reminded us of what we've missed out on, right? And listen – I'm a guy who parachutes in for college basketball. I don't really watch college basketball that much, but I'm talking about I am thoroughly entertained. Are you not entertained?
Are you not?
I was entertained. I tell you what, I was rooting so hard for UCLA. I mean, I love that they just put their hearts out there, man. And you talk about the big fella, what's his name, Cody? He was out there hitting shots that he ain't never hit before. I mean, you talk about both teams hitting 58% coming down the stretch, shot after shot after shot. And then Suggs comes up with the big stop, the bounce pass, and now I got to look at the Stazzilla or whatever his name is, you know, smiling and all that stuff. But I tell you what, they have nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
They left their hearts out there. But the thing is, when you play those type of games, those are the games that hurt the most. Remember what Vince Lombardi said. He believes that a man's finest hour, all of which he holds true, is when he lies on the battlefield exhausted, Allen, but victorious. So UCLA did all of that, but they weren't victorious. So I'll tell you what, it hurts more. It hurts more because you're criticizing yourself. What could I have done better? Should I have picked him up full court instead of running back? Should I have my eyes on it, realizing that 3 seconds is plenty of time to get a good quality shot off on balance? And Suggs did not call bank, and I think he fouled him, too, going to the basket.
You're
going to
say now, Cody Riley, you're going to say, well, I mean, if Jalen Suggs is not the number one pick in the draft, let me go there. If he's not the number one pick in the draft, somebody's going to get fired.
This dude
makes your team smarter and better the minute you draft him, 100%. He should be the number one pick in the draft. Off that play alone, just
Cunningham.
I understand, but Cade Cunningham, how far did he get in the tournament? I didn't even know he was in the damn tournament. That's how fast he was gone.
It's no Jalen
Suggs
Roscoe
is a huge
Jenkins.
Part of this
it's
success.
It's no INT, Roscoe Jenkins.
Listen, man. Listen. He made big plays, winning plays, heady plays, smart plays, confident plays. That block and then the long – that pass, that bounce pass that he made for the dunk. I mean, are you kidding me with some of the passes, some of the vision, but also how he's just cool under fire, under pressure for a freshman? Are you serious? I don't care that he didn't call bank. I don't care that he didn't call glass.
I'm taking
he
Zach.
He called game,
Give me
though,
Zach.
Bart Scott.
Give me Zach.
He
Give me
called
Zach.
Game.
Give me Zach. I'm taking Zach. I want somebody off the one who's going to come to the pros with a chip on their shoulder. Is he even eligible to come out? Juzak. Whatever his name is. I love his name. I love his hair.
Johnny Juzak.
I love that name, man. Yeah. That's gangster. That's he should get that translated into like an Asian tattoo or something. I bet you that's gangster. Nihongo de.
Well, you know what, though? I'll tell you what. So let's first again. Jalen Suggs on the play, on the moment, on, like I said, on everything about a shot that now will live for a long, long time in NCAA tournament history.
I don't know. I saw Johnny got the miss and put it back in, you know, and Corey took it out right away. Corey, come here. You know, and I got as many dribbles as I can, you know, try to get as close as I could. He was actually, like, right under me. But, I mean, I just put it up. I was fading away with it, and, dude, it went off the backboard and in, and I don't know. I've always wanted to run up on the table and, you know, like Kobe and D-Wade and go like that. And, I mean, that's the first thing I did. But, man, that is something that you practice, you know, on your mini hoop as a kid or in the gym just messing around. And to be able to do that, it's crazy.
I hate that he's so relatable. I want to hate him so bad.
How could you say that?
I wanted to listen because my underdog lost, man.
Yeah.
And then I want to hate this kid, but damn, why you got to be so damn nice and professional? And he described every kid's moment in their backyard playing with their dad or playing with their cousins. 3, 2, 1.
They do it in practice. Gonzaga does it in practice. That's why that play was so effortless, is that they've done it so many times.
In UCLA, man. I mean,
well,
listen,
I'll tell
after
you
Alabama
what.
Going to overtime,
yeah.
You seem like you would have learned your damn lesson about these little last second half-court shots. Pick them up early. Make them have to put it down.
Listen. Mick Cronin, again, I'll mention it again. Mick Cronin and the job he did at UCLA to get where they
true.
Got. Remember, they were in the first four. They're an 11 seed. They had to do extra work to get all the way here.
Yeah.
They lose to the best team in the country by a last-second shot. You lose by 3 in overtime on a buzzer beater in the Final Four. This is what a run by his team, but they're not going away anytime soon. Mick Cronin, you could tell after the game, you feel so much pain, but how do you not feel pride as well?
We might not have been the best team in the country all year, but we became one of the best four teams in the country. Period. This was not a fluke tonight. We would not have gotten blown out Monday night. We didn't sneak in.
How about that? Like him even just being that defiant about it, Bart, saying, well, we wouldn't have gotten blown. Even if we won this game, we'd still be an underdog, but we weren't getting blown out. Not Baylor. We weren't going to get blown out by them either. Like, that's as defiant as you can be for a coach who really believed in his group. You mentioned Juzang. I mean, they've got some serious talent on that team.
Juzang!
And he is building up that program, and he's doing it in a way that we aren't used to seeing UCLA. Gritty, tough, defensive.
And the underdog. How the hell can you make a team that got more titles than anybody damn underdog? Like, they walking in there, the underdog. Like, come on, man. They got titles behind their back, man. That's like saying the Celtics are underdogs. Never that, man.
Yeah, no,
it's too much pride and tradition there, man. It's the ghost of a wooden bass coming.
It's absolutely true. So, like I said, we'll have Seth Greenberg on at the bottom of the hour. We'll get your calls going at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729.
Were they entertained? Were the people entertained?
Yeah, absolutely. And what are you looking for tonight? A match. I want to ask Seth the matchup he's looking forward to seeing tonight. But that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. You know what else, too, over this weekend, Bart, is we had opening day on Thursday, and we had some baseball, at least
the Mets
most
play.
Teams.
The
Mets still have not played, though, Bart. They have not played.
So the Grom's still undefeated.
Yeah, right. The Mets are still undefeated. But at least they're expected to play, or they are going to play tonight, I believe, right? It's tonight the game against the Phillies in Philadelphia. So you have that. So they'll get underway. Washington Nationals, however, still going to wait a day. They're not going to be ready to play. So no Atlanta Braves, Washington Nationals game tonight, but there will be tomorrow. They are expected, as they've passed now all their tests. Their COVID protocols have now moved on. So, you know, they've got all the negatives they need at this point to get back on the baseball field. So you hope now it's an isolated incident and no longer will it be an issue for Major League Baseball. At least you hope so, as they will get back to action. But other teams that have gotten to action, and look at the American League East for a second, if you would. Because I know it's just the start of the season, Bart. The Red Sox,
they're rebuilding.
They got swept at home. It's like the first time since like 1940-something that happened.
Welcome back, Carl.
They're trying not to be 0-4 for the first time in about 10 years. You know, and then the Yankees, like, this whole thing swept. By the way, raise your hand if you had the Orioles at the top of the division at 3-0. And if you're raising your hand right now, you're a liar. You're a bold-faced liar.
Alan, look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
You're so full
look
of it.
Look at me, damn it. I got my hand
so
up.
You're so full of
I'm
it.
I'm always optimistic with teams and cities in which I played in. You know what I mean? So, of course, I'm going to say yeah.
The Yankees are 1-2. The starting pitching, a little bit of a concern, would you say?
Just a smidge.
Just a smidge?
They haven't stretched out yet. This okay.
They haven't
stretched out yet, Alan.
Yeah.
Still a little cool outside.
3-for-14 is Aaron Judge, by the way.
Yeah, Pete. Pete. If Pete come out and hit two home runs today, game over. Game blouses.
I mean, you know, again, like that. Like, so the frustration looms, but of course, Gary Sanchez with two home runs, though, in the first three
Gary,
games.
Gary, so scary.
At least you got the Kraken. Doing a little something, but the Yankees are in a weird place right now. Toronto's going to be they're going to be a scrappy team.
Got a lot better. Springer went there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you think about him and Vlad Jr., man, they're not afraid.
They've got a lot of juniors on that team, right? You've got several guys that are legacies in baseball in that group. So, anyways, again, it's just getting started, though, in baseball. We'll talk about what happened with the Angels last night. You saw that on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. Shohei Ohtani did something that we haven't seen in about 40 years.
What, Babe Ruth?
Pretty damn impressive.
He was supposed to be Babe Ruth about damn time.
Well, he's
came here had time. Had Tommy John surgery. We've been waiting for this, man.
Why are you such a hater? Why are you such a hater?
No, I love. Listen. Handsome dude too, man. Like, I mean, I don't know if that's the right mark. He should be a Dodger, man. With that face, man, he could be selling all kind of Old Spice. You know what I'm saying? All kind of show him coming up on a horse or something.
What
you know what I'm saying?
Talking
on the beach.
About? Hey, you want to talk to the people?
Yeah, talk to the people.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As we go to the hotline, let's begin with, let's see, Josh in Washington. Josh.
Hello?
Washington.
Hey,
hello.
Guys.
Are you calling about the Zags?
What's happening,
Josh?
Man? Of course he is.
Yeah, I am calling about the Zags. Also, I don't know where to send these potatoes that you want, dude.
Bart's those potatoes that you
want. I want apples. I thought apples
he said
came
he
to Washington.
Apples.
I'll send you apples. I'll send you apples. I don't even know why I said that shit. I was nervous.
It's
okay.
All right. I think we have to let him go.
Oh, man. He said to George Carlin seven words
you
can't say on radio.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Justin in New Jersey. Justin.
Come on, man. Call back from a different line and change your voice.
Thank you,
what's happening, man?
Kuwait movie theater. I wanted to say thank you very much because you were really nice to me and my family. I really appreciate you being a professional. But I'm calling about the game tonight. I really like Gonzaga. You know, that was a spectacular game the other night. I've been watching college basketball for years. That was one of the best basketball games I've seen in a long, long time. Han, I was curious, what do you guys think about the total on the game? Do you like the over, the under 159.5 on the game?
Wait, it's 159? Oh, my God, over. Right? You got, I mean, you saw barely the way they shoot the three, right?
It's going to be interesting, man. Like, is it going to be nerves, though? You know what I mean? Because this is for all the chips, all the marbles. It's going to take them a while to get into it.
There's one team that can shoot the hell out of three. The other team, obviously, Gonzaga, well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
159. I mean, that almost sounds like too easy, doesn't it? Too easy money. All right, let's
go. That means they know something.
Scott in Baltimore. Scott.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
It's not a Zags call. It's a Suggs call.
Okay.
I mean, what a lot of people aren't noticing or haven't even referenced is that the athletic ability of this kid, he did not heave a shot.
No.
He went up from 50 feet away like he was pulling up from the foul line.
Affirmative.
With perfect form. Yeah. Perfect form. His feet were 3 feet off the ground like he was just taking an everyday jumper.
Yeah, his momentum.
That's the range now, though.
Yeah,
right?
He had momentum behind him, and that was a pull-up jump shot. That was not a typical half-court heave.
That was a little Dame time. We had Ellis on today, and he was talking about how,
Alfonso Ellis, right?
Yeah, Alfonso Ellis. Mm-hmm. Talking about how it's not really guys, the skill are not shooting at 18 feet. Everybody now, because of the Curryization. Is that a new word? The curryization of basketball.
You just threw the L in there?
Yeah, yeah.
Curryization?
Yeah, curryization. You know what I'm saying? Of the game. You know, everybody can shoot these long shots. It's a lot harder to see these guys hit these 18-footers and bank shots as you see almost no mid game in basketball, period, let alone in the collegiate sports. You know what I mean? I'm thinking it's starting to get a lot easier to be able to hit those shots than it is to hit that 18-footer, those tweeners, you know what I mean, those touch shots.
He's got a strong base. Look, the kid was a football. He was a quarterback, right? So you already know. Like, you've got to have, as you well know, Bart.
He got eligibility? He still got eligibility?
I think he does. But he's happy he chose basketball. Because
is he?
I'm telling you, if he's not the number one pick, man. Like, it's so funny because, I hear from Knick fans all the time. They're like, this wasn't the year to try to make the playoffs. It's like as if you have any choice. Like, you've tried before to get the top pick. How'd that work out for you? Every time it's like, no Zion,
but what if
no
Dallas,
Ja.
But what if Dallas pick ends up and Cade Cunningham goes?
Have you seen Dallas play lately? They don't look like they're heading in that direction. They've got it figured out. Yeah, they've got it figured out. So, but it's just funny. But I'll tell you what, though. You know what else you watched tonight? Davion Mitchell. Because you were talking about somebody that will be in the lottery. The more the scouts see him play, and I think in the mocks right now he's in the teens. But if he gives you a good game tonight, he can play both ends of the floor, tough. He might move up quickly when it comes to the lottery. He could start moving himself up closer to the top 10. That's a dude I'm telling you right now. You think a guy, again, physically ready for the league, he could be physically ready for the league. I think him.
Sounds like a Nick to me.
Yeah, you see, if I say it, if I put it out there in the air, you know what's going to happen. The basketball gods laugh.
He going to go one pick before.
Of course. Right. Nick fans plan and basketball gods laugh. That's literally what happens here. Like, I like that guy. He'd be a great fit. And with the 13th pick, darn it. Like, that's always going to happen. So I'm not even going to say it. I'm just going to say, watch the game tonight. You're going to have several NBA players on the floor. And I do think that part does factor into the watchability of a championship game.
You know what I love about it? This isn't like Garza being the lead guy or Timmy being the lead guy. This is going to be a game that's determined by the guards. That's why I want to talk to Seth, because I want to know what's this guard play in between. Because when you have two guards on Baylor, you have one good guard in Suggs, mm-hmm. on Gonzaga, that's going to play. That's going to play a huge role in who wins, because that comes. I love, man, that little dude with the looking like Maxwell or looking like the Weeknd over there, number 10 from UCLA. Yeah. Oh, I'm a fan, man. You talk about him, so many clutch moments. He was just like a little general out there, 5'10", 5'9".
How dare you?
I thought the Weeknd.
You know we're watching tonight, by the way.
What we
watch? We're also watching to see who wins. The handlebar mustache, that'd be Drew Timmy.
Today.
Or the mullet. That dude Meyer. You see that guy's mullet? Oh, and he comes to play, by the way. Like, he's no joke. You better guard him. He's just not out there to set screens, no doubt about it. All right. So, again, we got the calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want to keep going with the calls. We got plenty more to get to. Coming up next, though, we have Seth Greenberg, who's going to break down everything that you need to see tonight, what you should watch for, and what he saw as well against in those two games, the way Baylor played, how they just ran Houston off the court with all those threes, and then Gonzaga as well. So all that's coming up, your calls as well, all that after Bart has this from DraftKings.
It's everyone's favorite tournament of the year. The golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for that coveted jacket. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at millions of $1 million top prize when you download and sign up using promo code BART. If you haven't tried DraftKings, this is the time. It's easy to play. Pick six golfers, stand underneath the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament tees off early Thursday morning. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you'll become to winning some green. Rack up the points for par, birdies, finish position, and more. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code BART during sign up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at $1 million top prize. That's promo code BART, and you can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. Seth Greenberg, more back when we come back. He's going to teach me about basketball.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Go ahead.
Arf, arf, arf.
Bart and Han.
What's
Alan on
my
Bart
name?
Scott. ESPN Radio presented by, yes, Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Go ahead, Bart. I know you wanted to shout out DMX.
No. Prayers up for DMX, who's battled substance abuse his entire life. Had a heart attack from an apparent overdose. Prayers up for him. You know, we all understand, and I understand with my work with the Helping Up Mission, who helps men of addiction, that it's a lifelong battle, man. We just hope that he gets another shot at life.
All right. We certainly all agree with you there. Let's go to Seth Greenberg joining us on the Goodyear Hotline as we're talking about tonight's championship game. We got the matchup we wanted, Coach. We got number one versus
all Seth's sex symbol himself.
Number two. I mean, that's what you've got. It's what you wanted. Gonzaga versus Baylor. It's what we all wanted, really. With that in mind, as we're looking at this game tonight, I have to believe, as you look at the numbers, Gonzaga averages in the tournament 89 points a game. Baylor at 75 points a game. You expect this to be a high-scoring game?
Yeah, it's going to be a high-scoring game. Now, Santa Clara can't get seduced into playing up-and-down basketball. They still got to take care of the ball. They can't take bad shots, because you take bad shots against Gonzaga, and they are running that thing right down your throat in 14 seconds. They're laying it in a spread ball screen, dribble handoff. If Kispert rebounds it, he might initiate your fast break. If Yai rebounds it, he's going to initiate your fast break. So, yeah, it's going to get up and down. But you still need discipline. You need shot selection. You need to take care of the basketball. But Baylor's a team that can score it. Baylor's a team that can defend. They've got, as we know, they've got an incredible backcourt. They got five guys that can drop 25 on you on any given night. That's pretty good. But Gonzaga's a team that has advantages. They have Drew Timmy.
They're averaging 50 points a game in the paint, which is, you know, absurd. They get 56 the other day against UCLA. I mean, those are just – that's just crazy numbers. And like Hubie Brown used to say, the team that gets the most easy baskets wins. Well, that would be Gonzaga. Now, Baylor gets easy baskets, but not as many as the Zags. Yet there are a lot of ways you break this game down, guys, and you say, wait a second, Baylor's the better team. Their way, you compare the backcourts, compare their defenses. You did a checklist of comparison. And a lot of times, you know, we get on that on the touchscreen and we do those comparisons. It would be hard to not say Baylor's backcourt's better, as good as Suggs is. All right, it's hard to say their defense is better. All right, they're a better 3-point shooting team. But the other dude's got Drew Timmy, and Drew Timmy gets him, you know. They get 50 points a game, 52 points a game in the paint. So I think it's going to be a fascinating game. I hope it's as good as, obviously, the game we had the other day, but it has the makings of that.
Coach, I'm a casual. I parachute in for the tournament. What matchup am I looking for? And was it anything that Baylor can take from the UCLA defense and how they switched to pick and roll that they can utilize to take advantage and maybe slow down that Gonzaga deep offense?
Well, I think there's two things. I mean, one, I think you got to go at Kispert and make him guard. And UCLA did that. Jaime Jaquez put a lot of pressure on Kispert, made him guard, which kind of took him out of his rhythm a little bit, Bart. I mean, you know, it was an interesting thing to do. I mean, like, when Tiger Campbell went out, they went right to Jaime Jaquez at the point guard and literally made Kispert defend him out on the perimeter. So making Kispert defend is really important. The other thing is UCLA switched that high ball screen. And that was really fascinating to me, because if you switch that high ball screen and Timmy gets on Butler or Mitchell, those dudes are racking it. They ain't playing with it now. I mean, they're seeing Drew Timmy and saying, hey, the best way to guard Drew Timmy is to get him in foul trouble. So you know what? I'm sure Scott Drew's saying, we get that small big matchup, do not settle. All right, we'll run some type of inside action where they'll run some type of crossing action just to keep guys occupied. And you're going to see those two guys just drive the crap out of Drew Timmy. Jump stop, shot fake, try to get him to leave his feet and crack him. So, I mean, that's the other thing. I think the other thing is you got to be efficient against them. I think what you learned from the UCLA game is that if we move the ball and move people and make them defend both sides, because people say, well, you know, that was a fast-paced game against UCLA. No, it wasn't. UCLA, there were 65 possessions in that game, a typical UCLA game, which is 319th in average length of possession. What it was a ridiculously efficient game by UCLA. They shot 57-47 and only committed 10 turnovers. And those are sick numbers. Mm-hmm. Like, if I had teams that did that, I'd still be coaching. those are insane, insane. I don't even know how you would equate that to football. That would be probably like, you know, dominating the time of possession, dominating, you know, the Bill Parcells, you know, NFL championship football, grind it out, be efficient. Yeah, never turn it over and make every right read when you decide to pitch it around. I mean, they were really good. Gonzaga can't play at that pace, but they can do a lot of the similar things. The high spread ball screens, the dribble handoffs, pulling Timmy away, attacking Timmy. And then they got two ways. I mean, they can go with Jonathan Chama-Chachua. They got to decide who they're going to double off of a little bit. See, when you double off of Gonzaga, the problem is it's not the three-point shooting except for Kispert. It's the cutting. Like, if you're watching this game tonight, Bart, watch when the ball goes to Kispert. If any defender turns his head, and again, I don't know how you would equate that to football, but if any defender turns his head in the least bit, a guy's cutting right across his face, man.
Yeah, we call that looking back at the quarterback.
Yeah. You look back at it, right, and all of a sudden, the guys, bam, they're just cutting right across your face, and you're shooting a layup because Timmy's a great passer. It's going to be – this game's going to be – you know, I don't want to be disappointed. I'm, like, hyped up. I don't want to be disappointed because this game has a chance to really be something really, really special. I mean, like memorable special, because the both teams, good passing teams, good playing, extremely unselfish. Someone asked me today, like, if you were coach of one of these teams, what would you say before the game to your team? You're not the scouting report on personnel, how we're guarding this guy, how we're guarding that guy. You know, that last message you send to your team. You know, and I would say, We don't have to reinvent ourselves. Just be us. Just be us. What we've been all season long, if it's Baylor, if we're a tenacious defensive team that creates turnovers, that shares the ball, that plays with great spacing, that trusts each other, then just be us. And if I'm Mark Few, I'm saying the same thing. Hey, this is Baylor. We're not changing for Baylor. All right? All right, we're going to play with great flow. We're going to share the ball. Whoever is open is going to make a play. We're going to make plays for each other. Just be us, because just be us has been pretty good to this point. And that shows you, to me, how confident these coaches have and appreciative these coaches have of their teams. Because let's face it, I mean, you can see the relationship they have with each other. Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, for Zag, wait for Jalen Suggs to make a play, because the dude's just different. Dude is just different. I mean, like, he's different. That block and that pass, come on, man. I mean,
Don't say it.
No, don't go.
Bart saying the foul.
That block and that pass, yes. That pass, I mean, that stuff is just, come on, man. Like, who makes that pass? That thing was magic-esque. Like, here's the thing. Another guy throws that bounce pass, it skids across the ground and goes out of bounds.
Yeah.
You got to throw that thing with a little, just a touch. If you go to the park one day, just try to throw a long bounce pass. Unless you put a little bit of spin on it.
A little English.
Just a slight turn of your wrist. It hits that long a bounce pass, hits and literally stays low because of the angle you got to throw it on, and goes out of bounds. That thing was on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in the day, Dilfer's dimes. That was a dime. I mean, and Timmy's running like full. That was like, I'm telling you, that was such a sick play. Like, I literally after the game, I must have gotten text messages from 30 different coaches, and like we're just rehashing about the game. I'm talking with guys like that have won national championships, and the first thing people goes, that pass? Are you kidding me? I mean,
it's something.
In that moment in time.
Oh, it's a highlight, of course, already now. One of many that he'll have in his career, and one we wonder if it'll match up with tonight's game, and maybe we'll get another one of those types of memories or some type of finish after what we saw in the Final Four. This is certainly, you know, setting up to be, like you mentioned, one of the great games ever. But, Seth, we got to leave it right there. Thanks so much for your time. Great to talk to you. Enjoy the game tonight.
Enjoy the game, guys.
I'm Al Smarter, coach. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. All right, Seth Greenberg joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. So the college basketball season has reached tournament time, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has announced the final ballot. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award nominees. Jalen Suggs certainly should be on that list. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. So coming up, we go back to baseball and something we haven't seen in over 40 years happened last night, and it was pretty incredible. We will discuss after Bart has more from DraftKings.
Speaking about great tournaments, golfers are in Augusta, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is giving you a free shot at $1 million top prize. Just pick six golfers, stand underneath the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament tees off early Thursday morning. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code BART during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at $1 million top prize. That's promo code BART, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. We'll talk a little baseball when we come back.
Shh. Why are we whispering?
Bart and Han.
Do you remember Bart Han? Bart and Han.
First time, September. Do you remember us, New York? Chicago? Dallas?
Do you remember Bart and Han? Do you remember us?
We back, Jack. Ta-da!
And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Han Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And
win
that
for
is
the
so,
culture. That, win for the culture last night.
Yeah. I'm obviously, I had to do the morning show, so did not have a chance to stay up with it, but I am planning on catching up on it. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Isley Brothers.
Four hours straight. 25 hits. For anybody out there that don't know what Versus is all about, mute.
Yes, please.
25 hits apiece. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Everyone was it. The dude said he had 45 albums. Forget 45 good songs. 45 damn albums. Crazy, son. It was crazy. It was a win, man. Hit after hit. Yeah. You got Mr. Biggs getting in there. His salt and pepper and age. Man, I wish I could be 79 and age that well. He lost the ponytail, but he still got hair.
I'll tell you
that's
what, though. And for a lot of people that are like, I won't know those songs, you'll hear it. And you're like, oh, I know that song. You'll be surprised how many actually know. Yeah, I didn't know that was them. Right. You'll get a lot of that going on. But, Bart, let's get to some baseball here real quick.
I love baseball.
Let's do Getting It Done, brought to you by Granger. Last night, we saw something in the Angels-White Sox game. Aside from a walk-off, which, of course, was exciting, we saw something we haven't seen since 1973.
73?
And that is Shohei Ohtani doing this.
And the pitch. Swing and a ball hammered. Right field. Way back. Got its way. Gone! Shohei Ohtani wasting no time. Absolutely tomahawking a fastball at the top edge of the zone. 115.2 miles an hour. It went 450 to right center.
Oh, baby.
Angels won.
Yeah.
White Sox nothing. Shohei goes yard.
So Shohei Ohtani started the game. He also batted second. And then in an American League game as a pitcher, homered, which hasn't happened since the DH was instituted.
See, but that's unfair.
In an American League game now. I mean, that's we got to make that also specify that. Now, you mentioned what Boog Sciambi said there. So, Ohtani, the exit velo, or the hard, I guess, yeah, the exit velo on that home run, it's the hardest hit home run of the season. Now, yes, a short season, but let's play along. 115.2 miles per hour exit velo. He also threw the fastest pitch of any starting pitcher so far this season at 100.6 miles per hour. So you want to talk about getting it done? Brought to you by Granger, Shohei Ohtani. Getting it done with the bat and with the arm. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Granger is always there to help. Call, click, Granger.com/safety or just stop by. Bart, that was impressive stuff, man.
We've been waiting for this, right? Because this kid was billed as special. And then he came over, he had the Tommy John. Then he was subject to not pitching last year, only batting and a lot of that. Every time he does something special, everybody's going to look at Giancarlo. Like, man, let me pay this dude $300 million.
Yeah.
This dude could have helped us out with pitching and hitting. Come on, man.
Yeah,
this kid is special, man.
Things.
This kid is special. He's the closest thing. He was billed as the closest thing to Babe Ruth, right? Babe Ruth was a pitcher, and he was a devastating hitter at the same time. Let's see if he can continue this momentum, and this can be a year where he can show us exactly how special he is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Spartan Han,
we got to whisper.
We are brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. I don't know why we whisper, but we won't whisper coming up next. Spartan Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.